So, we're in Zayin, verse 49. It says, "Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord." Verse 53, "Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts." There we go. Those eight verses, every one of the verses begin with the Hebrew letter Zayin. Now, Zayin is the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the ancient symbol or letter, the ancient symbol for the letter of Zayin was drawn as a mattock, an ancient mattock, as opposed to what is some people will call it a pickaxe, but a mattock. It has a flat edge on one side and a pointy on the other. But the sound of Zayin, that should be sound, not sounds, plural, but the sound of Zayin most closely resembles our English Z, as in zoo or zebra. These three words that begin with Zayin, remember it's reading from right to left. Zay means this or it, and it is a masculine form because there is a feminine form, and we'll encounter that in the verses. Zahav means gold, and Sevuv means fly, the insect, not as in I'll fly away, but as in the insect, and that's a part of where you get the false god or the name for Satan, Beelzebub, Baal Zavuv, Lord of the Fly. Zayin is masculine in gender, and by its ancient pictograph means cut, food, or nourish, because while the word Zayin means sword or sharp weapon, the Hebrew word zan means food or nourish. And I wouldn't use Zayin in Israel today because it also is a slang for something that's not very nice. And so avoid saying the word since people don't use swords too much. And because it is slang for something that's not very nice, then you can avoid saying the word if you happen to be in Israel these days. The ancient mattock was used for tilling the ground to plant food, to harvest grain when the food was grown, and to harvest meat from animals for food, because it was a sharp weapon, and was used as a weapon of warfare in conflicts. They would just take up their mattock and go to war. Zayin has the numerical value of seven, because it's the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and thus its spiritual meaning is significant. The saying, "let go and let God," may be applied to Zayin, even though it's not a biblical term, and people also pervert that, but as it pertains to rest, we do let go and let God, as you'll see here. For the seventh letter represents rest, holiness, release, and completion in Jewish tradition, or the number seven does. And so, therefore, the seventh letter represents rest, holiness, release, and completion in Jewish tradition. The Sabbath, which is the Hebrew Shabbat, is the seventh day of the week. Shabbat also represents the seventh month, which is the month that we happen to be in right now, the month of Tishri, on the rabbinical calendar. The seventh year, which is the month of reliefs, also it's called Shemitah, which means release. This is when all the slaves go free, and this is when the ground is supposed to remain fallow. It's supposed to it's not supposed to be plowed or harvested on the seventh year. And that is considered a Shabbat, a Sabbath. The whole year is a Sabbath. As well as the seven holy Sabbath days in the commanded feasts of the Lord in Leviticus 23 verses 4 through 44. There are seven Sabbath days where you don't do any work. It says you shall do no servile work, and it doesn't call them Sabbaths in Leviticus 23, but they are Sabbaths. You're not to work. It is a day of rest. First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover and Feast of Unleavened, first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits is a Sabbath, Pentecost is a Sabbath, the Yom Kippur is a Sabbath, which is today. Yom Kippur is a Sabbath. The first day of the Feast of Tabernacles is a Sabbath, and the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles is a Sabbath. So you have seven Sabbaths in the Lord's feast days. In these Sabbaths, all are commanded to put down sword or mattock, cease from war, planting, and harvest to allow the Lord God to protect and to provide. So that's how you let go and let God. Our English word remember is the Hebrew word zakor, and it's spelled two ways. It might not have that little vav there, which was the letter that we looked at last week. So zakor links the Sabbath commandment forever with Zayin in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember, young people, right? The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exactly. Remember it. So it starts off with the Hebrew letter Zayin and the Hebrew word Zakor, remember. Verse 49, it says, remember your word. This is the English Standard Version. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. And it's a compound beginning. It's Zakor Devar. And means literally remember word. But we translate it remember the word because remember the word or remember your word because it's attached to the Lord's commandments. Remember your word or remember the word as a compound. See, God doesn't have a memory problem. When we pray for God to remember his promised word, we're actually saying that we remember his word. And thus pleading for his mercy according to his word. You know, God doesn't have a problem with his memory, but when we say remember your word, Lord, the word remember is for our sake, actually, from the scriptures. Every single time, because God has no memory problem, he knows all. Romans chapter 10. And so therefore, every time we pray that prayer, it builds our faith because we know that God doesn't forget. And it builds our faith. Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ or through the word of God. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. It begins with the Hebrew word zot. Zot is means this or it in the feminine form. And it usually takes on the subject. Which in this case is feminine. This my comfort, the word comfort, nacham, is the root word nacham is feminine, a female word. And so that's why it uses zot. And if I could use, if I recite, excuse me, if I translate this verse here, verse 50, in the Pastor John Amplified translation, it would say this, quote, this is my comfort in my affliction, for what you have spoken gives me life and makes me alive. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Verse 51, it says, the insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. Here it, the Hebrew, it begins with the Hebrew word zadim, which means proud ones, arrogant ones, or insolent ones. As Christ Jesus was mocked while hanging upon the cross, so will we be greatly derided for believing in his atoning sacrifice. Jude chapter 1 verse 8 says, yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones, or mock. They'll mock us because we are glorified in Christ, him having saved us by his grace. And so since they mock Jesus, they will mock you as well. Verse 52 says, when I think of your rules or your statutes or your when I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. That's the second time we see comfort in this section of eight verses. It begins with the Hebrew word zakarti, which means I remember. Zakar, or is the root word for zakor, which is a command to remember. Zakar is the root, which means remember. But zakarti means I remember. And my translation of this is, as I remember your judgments, Jehovah, and you comfort. As I remember your judgments, Jehovah, and you comfort. More literally, that would be the translation, and you comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4 say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Again, also that the Holy Spirit, in the New King James Version and in the English Standard Version, he's called the Helper, but in the Old King James Version, he's called the Comforter in John chapters 14 through 16. The Comforter, and for good reason, because he is the God of all comfort. Verse 53 says, hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. And you with the Old King James Version, it says horror, which is a great translation of the Hebrew word. Psalm 119 verse 53 begins with the Hebrew word zalafa, which means consuming horror or hot indignation. The wickedness of the world that still surrounds us provokes us to fear the Lord more reverently and more earnestly, and fills us with hot indignation. I actually like the Old King James Version where it says horror, but more literally from the Hebrew, a consuming horror because of the evil that is around us. And therefore, it drives us into fearing the Lord, that we trust in Him because our situations and circumstances surrounding us in the evil world are as they are. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, or in the English Standard Version, is insight. Verse 54 says, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. This is another comfort verse, actually, because when we sing praises, comfort of the Lord comes to us, God's comfort. He comforts us through our singing in verse 54. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. It begins with Zmirot. The Z sound kind of goes right into the next letter, Zmirot, which means songs. Some of you will remember in our walk through Psalms, some of the titles or subscriptions, for the Psalm was Mizmor. Those are the same roots. So Mizmor is a song. Mizrot is the feminine form, the plural form, and it's also feminine, Mizrot. Singing God's word is a biblical and blessed activity whenever and wherever we gather in Christ's name. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I might add that in doing so, as we're admonished, as we are being taught, and as the Word of God is dwelling in us richly, it comforts us through the Holy Spirit ministering to us, who's the God of all comfort. Verse 55, it says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. Again, Zakarti. Zakarti means I remember, as we saw in verse 50. And there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus, even at night or in our darkest hour or when temptations arise. Remember that Paul says in Thessalonians that those who are wicked do their wickedness or get drunk at night. And so this reminds us that the power that comes from the name of the Lord, that comes from the name of the Lord Jesus, allows us to keep his law rather than submitting to the temptation or submitting to the fear that comes at nighttime. John 14, verses 13 through 14 says, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Finally, the last verse, verse 56, says, "This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts." This is one place where the English Standard Version extends a little liberty in translation, because it doesn't literally say this. It doesn't say blessing. However, it is implied, so I'll give it a little latitude. It begins with zot, as we've already seen in, verse 50. Yeah, the one I said in Zakarti was verse 52. Verse 50, 6 and verse 50 have zot, which means this. This has come, if I translated this literally, "This has come to me, for your precepts have guarded, your precepts I've guarded. This has come to me, for your precepts have guarded." The words that are used in that first part of the text don't particularly say, they don't say blessing. It says, "This has come to me," literally. But all the blessings of verses 49 to 55, because it is implied, based upon it being an acrostic with the Hebrew alphabet letters that make up each section, it is implied that all the blessings from verses 49 to 55 are our possession, since we have hidden Christ's gospel in the depths of our being. We ask to be empowered to remember God's word, and when we've made his word our own blessed possession, we ask to be empowered to remember more and more of God's word. In other words, it works as a cycle. As I keep God's word, it strengthens me so that I can ask for him to fill me with his word, and so that I can remember his word and be comforted by his word. And so this is a really interesting thing, where we see this in the seventh letter, which seven means completion. As we get to a place where we're complete in a stage of our maturity, it goes back again to the beginning so that we can mature even more. So until the Lord returns and glorifies us and this mortal puts on immortality, we're not finished. And he will faithfully complete his work, as he says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, that he who has begun a good work in you shall be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said to his disciple, he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So that reflecting the power of his, the blessings of loving Christ and the work that he's doing. Here's my challenge to you, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, which I used as a reference verse 52. There it was. I used it as a reference for verse 52 because it mentioned comfort, and also verse 50 mentioned comfort. Blessed, again, I'll read it. Here it is from the English Standard Version. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So this is my challenge, young people, to you. Each day this week, for 7 days, because this is the seventh letter, for 7 days, and this is all, when I say young people, including all the children of God, so that's all you older young people, too. Pick out verses from God's Word that bring you comfort. So if you're on the McShane reading plan, that's fine. The Quinlan family, you're reading Daniel. So as you're reading Daniel, read over the verses, chapters that you have read and read for them for the 7 days. Pick out verses from the book of Daniel. Pick out those verses that bring you comfort. Memorize your favorite verse. And if you don't have a favorite verse there, memorize Psalm 119, verse 50. It speaks of comfort. That's a great memory verse, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life or makes me alive.